Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Sam Pets Radio, Australia's coolest podcast network.
Ho!
Ho fam, welcome to Ho fam.
It's the Christmas special.
Christmas in July and June.
It's in here. It's how we do it.
What's up? This is Levins. That's Angus.
What's up?
What's up?
I can't believe you've gotten so.
I'm so the cool one.
Colloquial with cool our one. Audience
like,
now.
Like I feel like
You've always been the cool one. You play like cool music and play music festivals. I sit at home. Like, you are obviously the cool one. You're a published author.
So I think I've earned that what's up.
Yeah. Uh-huh. When I get that notch in my belt, you'll all be the first to hear my colloquial greeting. For now, it's hello, I'm Angus.
So we suffered a huge loss in the film community this week. Obviously, we are one of the better known film and movie podcasts in Sydney. As soon as the great man Joel Schumacher passed, we thought, we've got to get Angus Truscott on this episode of Hey Fam. So welcome
on
back
a,
to Hey Fam.
On Angus. A, hello. What's up, to quote you? It's an honor.
No, we've got Alexi Toliopoulos from the Total Reboot podcast back again.
Total Reboot. Finally,
you might know him from his multiple appearances on this podcast.
Highest appearing guest.
I think for sure.
100%. Hell yeah, bro. We plays every time.
And back in the day, yes, I was also the highest freaking guest, dude. I used to play 24/11s, dude. That's how I used to play
Hot box in the car out front, an hour in. We're like, where the fuck is he? We're supposed to be recording. You'd come in.
Come in, belly up.
Pizza.
Belly out, dude. That's how I'd roll.
You'd have the munchies, but we'd have some fun cheese.
So we got Alexi on actually because Last of Us 2 came out.
Yep.
And you guys have already finished it. Yep. Came out on Friday.
And we're now neighbors. That's the other thing. Alexi lives like 90 degrees away from me. Yes.
Is Alexi the gamer who streams beneath your apartment?
Oh, man. It's funny. All right, we'll talk about
you
this.
You got a streamer? Like, you got a streamer in the unit?
So we got a guy who lives behind me. Oh, sorry, underneath me. But we have a communal clothesline being in an apartment situation. Yep. And I said this like a few episodes ago or something. I discovered there was a green screen just hanging on our line. And then his mother confirmed to me that he's
some guy's playing doing the soup downstairs. He's totally hosting the soup.
He's doing celebrity call outs.
It's Jimmy Fallon.
Yeah.
Fallon, dude, I didn't know you lived that close to Ray Liam Johnson, dude. My favorite YouTuber.
Well, now you do too, brother. That's the good news. But
Ellen downstairs doing her show.
Oh yeah, they're all here. Dr. Phil. We all see him when we feel sick. Man. He's our medical man. But
he's awesome.
The dude, yeah, that's right. His mom confirmed he's a professional gamer. He's an e-sport dude. He's sponsored by like PC brands and shit. But when you left last week.
Yeah, last week we were recording it. It was a rager. It was a streaming party, I think.
Whoa.
Mom wasn't home. And
they had League of Legends blasting.
His bedroom is above. No, I'm above his. And then we're trying to go to sleep. You know, after we record, we riff. Mm-hmm. So we're on a high still.
Yeah, we do, bro.
Do you
ever do that on your podcast, Alexi?
Yeah,
do you riff?
We write out a lot of stuff. Like, we'll write out most anything we say.
Yeah, like, I've been a guest on your podcast, and you will tell me all the lines.
Yeah.
You had a mark. You had a mark for me where I had to stand.
You go, like, Levins, you know, I know you're, like, a little bit loose, but just stick to the script. Yeah,
yeah, I'm like,
you had an X with masking tape, and you're like, you have to sit there.
I'll send it to Levins first, and he'll be like, okay, sure. Like he'll embellish a little bit.
Levinisms
all over it.
I gave you notes once, and you were very respect. You said, I said, I think my character would say this.
I can totally hear me saying this.
Yeah, some of the feedback I gave you. If anything, you know.
I actually ghost wrote Levin's episode for him, and he didn't know till this day. But that's why it came off so natural. But yeah, his mum was away and they were having, I don't know what the deal was, but they were having a party, had the whole house to themselves, but were having it in their bedroom. Like, and he had like six friends over.
Wow.
And they're younger than us. And I think they were playing like bad music, but non-ironically, like they were blaring Crazy Frog and stuff and Blue and not laughing.
Wow.
And like, it got so fun.
Blue
it
does go off though.
Blue is a bop though, seriously. Yeah. But it got so bad and I'm in bed and I'm like, I'm going to go downstairs. I really? I like the youth. I connect with them.
You had to
them.
Go knock.
Holy
so I
crap,
know, get this,
dude.
Knocked and then laughing. Just ultimate humiliation, no answer.
Oh.
And just like stood there for 2 minutes going like, I'm like fucking Seth Rogen in Bad
like
Neighbors.
A six pack in one hand.
I was
like,
seriously going to be like,
I am, boys.
I get it. I puff.
Guys,
I'm cool.
Guys, I'll get you a case of beers if you just be quiet. I'll let you party.
Seriously, yeah. And then like just laughed at and like mocked and went to bed again and then just don't know what to do. So
Jesus,
I'm like,
dude.
My friend just got NBN installed today and it's broken because it's NBN. But the guy's coming back and I'm like, can I come over and I want to ask some questions about like disconnecting the internet. I want to like, I've got some options. One of my options is I get really good at League of Legends and humiliate him online and then go downstairs while he's streaming and go, bitch, it was me. Turn the fucking shit down.
Well, you got a week off. Now's your
seriously,
chance.
Seriously. Or I think that was my plan. It was basically Bad Neighbors, but
you don't
sports version.
Send a SWAT team.
Well,
is that still a thing?
SWAT this kid.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you're right. Yeah, no, that could work. But it's just vile. Just so, ultimate... I got dissed by kids by knocking on the door and I'd even like pre-written the speech in my head. I was going to be like, look guys,
I'm cool.
I haven't, it always starts with look guys.
I work at Triple J. I host a freaking podcast.
You got to start at what's up.
Yeah.
Guys, what's up?
And then,
I'm friends with a DJ. I get it. I know music. I know
a photo of all my Star Wars memorabilia. I can relate to you guys.
I follow Ninja on YouTube.
I put the hashtag subscribe to PewDiePie when he said the N word. Like I still stuck by him during thick and thin, like I will for you. But yeah, it was like, just I don't know what to do.
Man, I'm humiliated to hear this story.
I'm so
great.
It's
really
funny.
Chloe
was out in the streets. She's out in the streets, just joined a gang. No, she was at the supermarket the other day and ran into the mom.
Yeah.
And the kid was there. And
how old is this kid, honestly?
Old enough to know better.
Okay.
He lives in a gamer house.
With his mom, though.
No. A separate one where they game.
I beg your pardon?
Oh, so he's only living back at this apartment because the gamer house, there was a COVID outbreak.
Oh, there was
outbreak. And they had to leave the gamer house.
Anyway, she ran into him. He looked very sheepish. So maybe that's enough.
Maybe
that's enough of that.
Yeah. Anyway, you guys have finished Last of Us 2.
Yeah.
I have been too busy simping my wife and kids. So I'm only 10 hours in.
Yeah, you've been marathoning my wife and kids. You're a Wayans fan, dude.
Doing a speed run on family. Speed running family.
But we're going to be talking about that game tonight. Mm-hmm. Obviously, doing some spoiler talk. I'm going to leave at some point. So if your favorite thing about Hey Fam is... when I'm not there, this
you're
is going to be your
there's
favorite
episode.
There's
only one
episode
without you.
Oh, yeah, the Noon episode.
Hey Fam, Noon episode.
I maintain my favorite Hey Fam is the one that you did with Nakia and in the hotel room.
Well, I hope you've got it downloaded.
Well, neither of us have listened to it and it doesn't exist anymore.
I hope you've got it downloaded because I went in and deleted it.
it was first 10 episodes, man. It was
like,
my all-time classic.
It was like episode 11, 12, 13. 15, 16, it just doesn't exist. I removed every episode that didn't feature me.
I love that. But isn't there one where I just interview Kevin Smith?
No, that one stayed.
Like that's
no, respect. You know what? I think that was put on the end of a regular episode because it was like 20 minutes.
Do you have like, because obviously, you know, you have, you started your podcast, The Blank Slate Movie Podcast, around about the same time we started Hey Fam.
I think maybe like weeks before and that's how we became friends.
Yeah. And that was very high concept in that you guys would pick a movie that none of you had seen before and you'd watch it. And now you do Total Reboot, which is a bit more broad.
Yeah.
Like, you know, you still hone in on one topic.
Concept.
Yeah. But yeah, do you like think back to those early days podcasting and just be like, what the fuck was I doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Like we had no idea what we were doing. We used to borrow equipment from Giant Dwarf Theater.
That's right.
So we used to have to go to the theater to record and stuff. We'd borrow this like huge tray of like stuff. It was like, we had no idea. And for
COVID
a year,
hotspot,
you had
man.
A makeup and artist.
Yes. We used to hire an artist to come in and we had no idea. And then like, also then like, it was so
you didn't even script all your dialogue back then.
Back then we were all about mumblecore.
Yeah.
It was a mumblecore era, dude. We're all mumbling stuff and like Duplass style shit,
yeah,
dude.
Just thinking about the Duplass Bros.
All of us had a moment of thinking about the Duplass Bros.
Oh, I was thinking about what if...
We went through a phase recently when we're talking about like the Mumblecore
What if The Last of Us 2 was Mumblecore? And like you have...
Yeah. I mean, parts of it kind
of
are.
Yeah.
Yeah, get some
just
of that
you kill dogs
dialogue,
in between.
Dude.
Yeah, this like, but like real quirky. Mm. Like a,
I want it more like Kevin Smith style. Like I want two clerks working during like Last of Us at like the...
I'm not even supposed to be here today.
Yeah, I want that shit.
Shoot a... Yeah. Zombie in the face.
That's what
yeah,
I
would actually kill them if they were in the game.
Is there a, does someone actually say in the game I'm not supposed to be here today? Or is that something else I watch recently?
I think you might have watched Clerks.
It was black and white segment of the game.
Yeah,
in
black
New Jersey.
And white.
It cuts to
yeah.
New Jersey.
There's a guy in a trench coat and a baseball cap turned around the
yeah,
wrong
they
way.
Look like homeless like zombie people.
A
right?
guy and a guy and yeah, a bunch of actors who have never been in any movies that weren't directed by Kevin Smith.
Yeah, yeah isn't that in the game?
Yeah.
Yeah, cool. As long as I remembered correctly.
Well, you remembered correctly. That's part of the game, so no cool. spoilers, guys. Sorry, spoilers.
And then Ellie accidentally has sex with a corpse in a bathroom.
Yeah.
That's like the big crescendo of that movie. Yeah.
You can tell it's 19-year-old. Yeah, yeah. Was he 19?
Isn't it, like describing that movie, isn't it so weird that probably for all three of us, were
you
like
guys cold?
Pivotal moment of my life was watching that movie and going like, this changed my life. Oh. This made me want to be everything
that
I am today. And now I look back like that. Movie's crazy for that.
It told me it was okay to rewrite write out conversations before I had them. Just like I was like, this is how people speak when you're 20. Just absurd bullshit. What was it's the opposite of mumblecore, isn't it? It's just
highly
like,
scripted core, dude.
Yeah,
no mumbling.
No one spoke like that. Loud, no, dude. No. Yeah, no mumbling, please.
So we had a tragedy.
Mm.
Oh
this
yeah.
This week, someone that we have both. Shared our love for on the podcast many times.
Yeah, love Joel Schumacher.
Joel Schumacher died.
Batman Forever was like, you know, while I saw Batman 89 in cinemas, which I've realized I was way too young. My dad took me at 4 or 3.
Thank
God. It was like one of the, I think it might be the first live action movie I saw because Who Framed Roger Rabbit was the first movie, but that's, as we know.
That's a hybrid.
I reckon that's scarier than Batman.
Yeah. I would actually put it's both of sinister. Those as two of my scariest movies of my childhood.
Similar scenes though, like, people falling into vats of things. Like it gave me a theme to work
when
with.
When the Joker
construct.
Says, hey, get hip, do the dip to
I mean, yeah, and you know, they're quite similar movies.
Similar villain, cackling cartoonish villain.
100%. But you know, Forever, I think I was like 9, like ripe ass age, and immediately liked it. Well, I believe that's the direction Joel Schumacher took on the costumes. You remember the shot when he's has the famous shot where
we
for some reason his cape's not on and he's like cape drops down draping over his like perfect like Greek
that
god statue ass. But you know, I was 9 when Batman Forever came out and immediately I was like, oh, this is the best Batman movie. Like this is what I wanted. Like the other ones are kind of dark and boring in parts like as a kid, but
it was so hyper, like it was
bonkers, that drag
neon.
Racing with Coolio.
Yeah. It's, like a, it's such it's an crazy. Insane movie. I think that is like, you know, we love the Fast and Furious movies. I feel like Batman Forever is a stepping stone to getting Fast and Furious.
Yeah, I think you're right because like Robin's the new recruit, like in the Fast movies, you know, they always have a new member. And then in the next movie it's Alicia Silverstone. Like very, very good observation. Fast cars. Lead actor died, I think.
Furious villains.
Very furious. Yeah. But yeah, that was my first exposure to... I like to call him Joel Cobbler because Shoemaker.
He's a shoemaker.
You know what?
Shoemaker.
Actually, the first Joel Schumacher movie I saw was Falling Down.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, no
way. When I was like... I was still in primary school at a sleepover at a mate's house, and
the original
we watched Wayne's World 2 and Falling Down in the same night.
Fuck. That's
and
actually not a bad double bill.
I thought Falling Down was like the most insane. I mean, it probably was the most insane movie I've ever seen.
Is Falling Down the like precursor to MAGA culture? Like a straight cut white guy just loses it at the world,
take
and like
it anymore.
Urban culture freaks him out, and he gets really like racist, right? Basically, doesn't he like?
I don't know if it's racist. I think he just goes postal, basically.
Yeah.
Which I think is pretty, like, that's a
but
nice
also,
stepping
I haven't
stone
seen it
MAGA.
Since I was a ripe-ass young age myself.
Just the Schumacher years.
Yeah.
31.
I was 31 back in the day.
All I remember is the burger scene at the end in, like, the traffic jam or something.
And I like that flat-top haircut that he has in that
he
movie.
He looks like a real, like,
he
hot...
He looks hectic in
like,
that movie. He looks like a Pixar character. He looks like he works at the Incredibles office.
He looks like somebody... He looks like yeah.
I remember I'd seen that movie at a sleepover, and then it was the summer that Twister came out, and I went and saw Twister, And I loved it.
They were your calzone days, weren't they?
What an unbelievable movie, Twister. Yeah.
Dude, they put a cow in the air.
Yeah,
how the fuck they do that?
It's awesome.
They got Helen Hunt in it.
You know, you got Helen Hunt, you got Bill Paxton, you got Philip Seymour Hoffman, one of the all-time casts.
In the 1960s, we put a man in the moon. Mm-hmm. In the 1990s,
we put a cow in the air.
We put a cow in the air.
Yeah. What's more important? I don't know.
They're on my calzone days.
Yeah. They seriously were your calzone days.
I watched a Joel Schumacher movie today.
But I remember having an argument with my... my neighbor was complaining about there being no plot in Twister.
Yeah.
And it was me and my dad and my neighbor. And he's like, oh, I saw Twister. There's no plot. I'm like, what do you mean? The plot is they want to go and discover what's in tornadoes. You know what movie has no plot? Falling Down. And my dad was like, you saw Falling Down? When did you see Falling
Down? Also, I love that you are defending Twister with Falling Down. two productions you have nothing to do with. It felt so enraged.
How dare my neighbor besmirch the almighty Twister. That was my favorite movie until I saw Independence Day and then Men in Black.
Twister was.
Yeah, I think Twister was unbelievable.
Did Twister come out before Men in Black?
Yeah, it goes Twister, Independence Day, Men in Black.
Oh, of course. They're all linked. It's truly, everyone knows that.
You got to send a cow up into space before we can chuck a fucking cigarette in a roach, dude. It's true.
Schumacher.
Where do you stand before we go back to Schumacher talk? Gremlins 1, Gremlins 2.
Oh, gosh. I love both of them, but I'll go Gremlins 2.
Yes! Another victory for the winning team. We get it. We love that fucking female gremlin.
Yes, I think she's absolutely stunning. She's
gorgeous.
She is gorgeous.
However, what I like about her is she's...
absolutely gorgeous.
She's
gorgeous. Jesus, dude.
I think it's like very positive. Gremlins are gender fluid. Like, you put lipstick on any of them and they're the female gremlin.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? I think that's like very...
Become sexy. They just accept sexy form.
Favorite Joe Dante film? This is a question we ask every episode. Gremlins? Mm-hmm. Gremlins 2 or Dante's Peak?
Oh God, I gotta stick with the Gremlins 2. I can't even riff about Dante's Peak being a Joe Dante film.
Did you name
it against me?
The last episode of PayFam, did you call it Joe Dante's Peak?
Great, that's great. I think Dante peaked with Gremlins 2.
Yeah, sure.
I love Gremlins 2. I said it last week and I'll say it again.
The only thing when I watch a Gremlins movie is this could do with a hell of a lot more Beetlejuice.
Do you ever go to Warner Brothers Movie World?
Yes, I loved it. I begged my only memory of Warner Brothers Movie World was it was just after Matrix Reloaded had hit.
Huge.
And it was like maybe between that and Revolutions, and we went there.
So 2000, 2001?
Around that time.
We never got a proper Matrix ride though, did we?
No proper Matrix ride.
I took the red pill and I'm still on that fucking ride, brother. I'll tell you what.
They had like this one hell of a display of all the sunglasses that every character wore.
They had a museum there.
You could buy their sunglasses, like the replicas of them. And I so wanted the twins, the white dreadlocks, the white dread twins.
I would love to see. How old are you?
Can I get them? I would have been fucking 10 years old.
I want to see you in the Gold Coast, 10, head to toe leather with glasses. This is the best fucking holiday ever.
I'm like, Dad, can I please get the twin ones? Like, no, think about it. You know,
twin ones.
It was like trying to talk me out because they looked ridiculous.
Right, I'm
going to
look
so
at their
stupid
glasses now that the twins have. I can't recall.
They probably
them
were the most tasteful of all of them. Like, it wasn't like, you remember Niobe's
ones? The most tasteful, the identical white guys with dreadlocks who disappear and come back.
Well, they've got so much going on, they're like, just put regular glasses on these fellas.
Yeah, they look psycho. Oh, yeah. So you wanted to be this dude?
Yes.
All right. It looks kind of like...
Put that up in the Discord.
Yeah, 100%.
Someone photoshopped that with me with those glasses nice on.
Who were those actors?
Do you know who
them?
They were?
Woody Harrelson.
They were... Okay, so they are twins in real life and they...
It's
also
the Winklevoss twins from Social Network.
You're like not far off. They're also martial arts experts. That's how they
got it.
But they literally were two hosts on, I think, either New Zealand or an English version of like a Backyard Blitz type show.
You're kidding.
Where they used to like remodel backyards and stuff.
With like using martial arts.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was just for the transitions or something during the scenes. But it was, that's like actually what they were. They were hosts of a TV show, Lifestyle TV.
And the Wachowskis saw them all like, we've got to get these guys.
We've got to get those 20s in there. People won't believe that there's more than one set of twins in the world.
They got really
us and them with dreadlocks. They probably the characters that the Wachowskis look like the most.
Actually, I see that. They've got very little mouths. That's my takeaway.
Tiny mouths.
Like little lips. See?
Little lips, tiny mouth.
And kind of like...
No secrets can spill out.
They don't really have the forehead for dreadlocks, if you know what I'm talking about.
We should... If an Australian theme park should have a Matrix ride.
100%.
Absolutely.
100%.
They made that movie
should be
here.
St. James Station, dude. The
Babe
ride.
Too.
Just shut
St.
down
James.
The train network. Mm-hmm. and put it with Matrix ride there.
Oh
in
my
Sydney.
God, that's what they should have done with the monorail.
Matrix ride.
Matrix
ride. It's just a Matrix experience going around the city.
That's great.
Then you could do a little Parramatta road trip, Mission Possible to the ride.
Yes.
That'd be, oh, yeah, that'd be vibing. And then the Wolverine.
The Wolverine.
The Wolverine down at Jubilee Oval.
The Hopetown Hotel where he's in the Canadian mountains yeah. and stumbles into a bar. Wow. We should do a tour.
Yeah,
we
should, if all we, you know, movies not set in Sydney, filmed in Sydney.
Yeah,
and we'll call it Hollywood on the Gold Coast in Sydney.
Yeah.
Oh, and all we sell Hollywood on the Gold Coast. Remember back in the day we watched the Hey Hey It's Saturday movie?
The first Hey Fan.
So you got me in a spiral last week looking at the history of Movie World because I was fascinated by that dude.
It's so bonkers.
So that the Silence of the Hams was filmed in conjunction with the launch. It was like a promotional device. It wasn't like it had opened because I for some reason I thought Movie World had been around for like the 80s or something.
Yeah.
But it only
since
opened
the golden age of cinema,
in
that's
91.
What it looks like, right?
Yeah,
it
opened in 91, which blows me away because I always took it for granted. I guess like
because everything in there just feels so dated from like at least 100%. Early 80s.
I mean, part of the Looney Tunes theme, dude, that feels like 100
the
years
Lethal
ago.
Weapon stunt show.
Yeah, like, yes. No, Maverick stunt show.
I think it was Police Academy when I was there.
Yeah,
that's all right.
It was Maverick when I went, but like, it's just insane that something that was launched in 1991 to be this hip new destination. They're like, oh, we need to send the cast and crew of Hey Hey It's Saturday there to shoot.
Well, that was, the biggest TV show at the time in Australia.
Fuck.
And they made a
Wait. That wasn't the biggest TV show.
But funny
the best videos? The best and worst of Red Faces was the biggest. Right. The biggest rating TV show almost every year of the 90s was a compilation.
It's
of
hilarious.
Hey,
it was like the TikTok for its YouTube. It's like, well, we know you only watch it for Red Faces and we're just gonna do a comp for you.
Was
guys.
That and Man Oh Man?
That yeah,
was another like,
I used to
insanely
watch
highly rating
what
Australian
the
show.
Me and Jack
Man
used
Oh
to
Man was
it.
Like this like it was like a dating show.
But it
I
was
guess.
Nerds, like little nerds would go on.
And it was men and it was like Man, oh man.
Remember they'd push the guys in the pools if they didn't like them?
Yeah, yeah. It was like the Bachelor or whatever.
It was,
but it
was Saturday
dudes.
Nights on Channel 7. It was Man, oh man and Gladiators.
That's right.
It was the fucking... Yeah. And then
and that was, the only thing that could take on Hey It's Saturday.
Well, then...
Australian Gladiators.
Saturday Nights were fucked. You had a Hey It's Saturday. You had Gladiators and Man, oh man.
You had Hercules and
Xena.
Xena
and Hercules.
Yeah.
It was just like... Devil's Triangle.
You're a little bit younger than us. You don't remember the Calzone
this
days.
Is why Elvis had three
Calzone
TVs.
Days around.
This is why Elvis had three TVs. It was Saturday nights in the 90s in Australia.
You watch all of them.
Yeah. You watch Hercules. You watch Zini. You watch it all.
Man.
Where would have you watched? Were you back there? I know you're close to Greek mythology.
I would have been watching VHS, dude.
All right.
I would be picking my own stuff.
What are we talking?
I would have been probably watching
True
Wizard
Lies.
Of Oz, I guess.
Wizard
of Oz.
Why
of that
Wizard
age.
Of Oz?
I was a kid. I don't know.
Yeah.
I loved Hercules and Xena. I loved it.
Yeah.
Sam Raimi, bro.
Raimi.
I don't know. I realized he was involved.
Yeah.
Did you know that?
He plays Xena.
And Gabrielle.
Yeah. Dual roles, dude. The Raimi brothers.
Now, the twins from the Matrix.
He like created them, basically, I think.
Yeah, he was
right.
The showrunner.
Yeah.
And his brother made them, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Raimi twins.
The big Wachowski.
So the Gremlins ride in World and Wonders Movie World. Remember how like Beetlejuice was just on it for no reason?
Yeah.
Well, I read last week when I was just going on a big Gremlins deep dive that the Gremlins ride at the other Movie World in Germany.
I love that we have a sister theme park in Germany. Just
instead
like,
of, I don't, which is not there anymore. I think it's been turned to something else. But the Gremlins ride in Germany, they didn't have Beetlejuice. They had Alf.
What the hell?
So it's the Gremlins. And Gizmo and Alf team up to take down the Gremlins.
Do you think Alf and Gizmo are like from the same planet or something?
I mean,
Melmac.
That does make more sense than Beetlejuice.
Yeah,
or unless
but Beetlejuice
Gizmo's
can
dead.
Apparate to any world. So that makes sense to me.
Well, maybe Gizmo's dead. Maybe
God.
He's another...
Got too wet.
Speaking of 80s movies and dead people, Joel Schumacher.
The Lost Boys.
The Lost Boys. Yeah,
is that his first big one?
I think it was, wasn't it? That was like his biggest film.
I was reading articles where it's like that, like he kind of considered movie making a hobby.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking people
wasn't even
his
main thing.
Fucking
like,
people was his thing.
He claimed he fucked 20,000 people.
When you fuck 20,000 people, movie making has to be a hobby.
That is wild that he said, that is an interview where he said he fucked 20,000
Even
men.
If it's a lie, I love it.
Because it's so many, I can't even fathom, I can't count to 20,000.
I would die before I got to it. I just want to look at his movies.
To so me, he was, the illogical.
He was, okay, yeah. He was 80. What do you reckon the youngest he would have started?
God, I don't want to answer
14.
That. 14?
No, I reckon 13. Back then, you fucked and smoked at like
10. Whenever you had that ripe ass okay, game so, into age.
And we reckon he's fucking all the way through to 80?
100%. Yes, 100%. Let's do okay, even distribution. Okay,
67 years. Divided by 20,000.
And then we got to divide that by 12 because I want to do months.
But I would also say...
You want to do months?
Well, I want to, on average, and then break down how many times he was fucking a week.
Oh, what have I done wrong? It says it's put 0.0033.
Wait, he never did it. He turned a line.
Science, yeah, yeah. What was it? 20,000 divided by what?
But to me, yeah, I did it the wrong way. There's no way it's 20,000.
By 77.
How was he?
67. 67.
So that was 298 a year.
Yeah. That's not so like bad. That's like, believable.
A few days off.
Yeah.
He takes exactly. weekends off like yeah. everyone else.
Yeah.
That's literally enough to take weekends off.
But I think that number is so unfathomable because you're like, there's at that point.
So 24 a month. He's taking 5 days off a month from fucking.
Yeah, that's good. But he's definitely fucking the same
there's
people.
There's 24 different.
Yeah, that's good.
No, but he said 20,000 partners. But it wasn't 20,000
like,
rooms.
There's no way you would. I can't remember 20,000 people. You would have fucked like the same guy like 20 times.
What was that documentary?
And each time you're like, oh, I've never met you before.
What was that doco like, about the girl?
Dude, this is at least my 11,000th time with you, Joel.
Wasn't he trying to.
Show me some respect.
Do you remember that doco, that porn star who was like trying to like break the record for most roots in a day?
Oh, I've maybe, seen that.
Yeah, maybe he was trying to beat that. Maybe it was ongoing for like 70 years. Remember that? That was like a hot.
That was
rental.
A hot doc for a while. Yeah.
Wilt Chamberlain.
And it was just like a
claimed.
Line of dudes. It was so like revolting.
Wilt not Chamberlain that, not that, was like, 10,000.
No, sex is revolting.
And in Conan the Barbarian, Conan the Destroyer, he plays a guy that's protecting a girl's virginity. I always found that quite deliciously ironic.
Okay.
Wow.
Wilt.
Wow. Wilt, films are funny.
Wilt
like
Chamberlain
that.
Also said he had 40, in over 40 years, he slept with 20,000 women.
Wow.
Maybe it's just like an industry standard now. God. You have to say it because if you go below, then you just look dumb.
I'll tell you, boys, I'm not ashamed to admit it. I'm quite below that number.
I'll say that, I'll let Joel...
There's a rapper from the Bay Area called Too Short.
Yeah.
And the song is called 19,999. And he goes, I fuck 19,999 bitches. I'm on you, Wilt. Wilt Chamberlain, ho.
All right.
Then it goes, 20,000 bitches. 20,000 bitches. If I fuck one more, 20,000 bitches.
Oh, no.
20,000 bitches.
His first big movie was San Elmo's Fire.
Oh, San Elmo's Fire.
Which I think... often gets
never
lumped in with the John Hughes coming of age films.
Where there's all that frat pack. He's one of the original frat packers, obviously with
Rob
Lowe, as well.
Emilio.
Yeah. Is that Melanie Griffith? Oh, no,
Judd Nelson and Ali Sheedy. Yeah. So, yeah. No, no, no.
What did you watch today?
I watched 8mm today.
Nick Cage.
And it's one that I've had on my list for ages.
It's a wild movie. I remember seeing that at too young and when I was 11. Oh,
that'd be really disturbing because it's all about, snuff films. Yeah. And snuff is like the thing that scares me the most. And
I wish I was you. You don't want to know what keeps me up at night.
This little gamer kid that lives downstairs, man.
Being disrespected by the youth. That's fucking nightmare.
8mm was sick. It's kind of like that. Nick Cage plays...
he's an investigator, right?
Investigator who gets hired by this like multi-billionaire lady who found like a snuff film in her husband's vault after he passed away.
Who and plays she wants the chick again?
I don't know who plays just that lady. Just some old character actor. She's probably been dead since then.
R.I.P.
Yeah,
her angel. Maybe they're rooting in heaven. No, he wasn't. He like dudes.
Well, you know,
he's experimenting.
I mean,
he's got
20,000. I'm sure he's gonna be a few.
You gotta mix it up every now and then.
Yeah,
maybe 15,000. Try it out.
It's like a sushi train. You gotta have the ginger to kind of. You gotta.
But it's got a monster cast. You got led Nick Cage.
Boom.
Then you've got.
And he's fresh off Con Air. It's that era. Face
that
off.
Era. Yeah. That late 90s.
Snake
era
Eyes.
Cage.
The classic.
Snake Eyes.
Wind Talkers is just around the corner.
Oh my God.
He can hear it. City of Angels. Like he's got a few.
He's working with all the big guys. All the big.
He's
workers.
Got an Oscar on the shelf. It's collecting dust.
He can
doesn't
do whatever
care.
He wants at this point.
Of course
point.
He can.
And
he does.
This is actually like your dream cast in the movie.
Yeah.
Oh, it's an amazing movie.
Catherine
I've seen
Keener,
it. Yeah.
James Gandolfini.
Joaquin Phoenix.
It was Joaquin Phoenix's second big role after To Die For, I think.
Yeah.
Because To Die For was his first big...
Yeah, I mean, as an adult,
as
right?
Because
parenthood, you can't go past that.
I mean, you can't go past... But he was Rain then, wasn't he?
Or,
he had
or
a different,
Leaf?
Leaf?
Was it Leaf?
Yeah, he was
Leaf.
Leaf Phoenix, yeah.
Leaf Phoenix. He's great in that movie.
He
playing
is.
Keanu's little friend.
Yeah. Hey,
But it's really good. I really, really enjoyed it. 8mm
is fantastic.
Yeah.
It's really gritty cool. as shit, too.
Really slimy, scummy movie that I think Schumacher lands really well because it's got just enough camp to kind of make it a bit out of reality, which kind of works for
Nicolas Cage is like a perfect actor for him.
Because they're both maximalists.
They're both insane.
Nicolas Cage is like the most maximalist actor. Joel Schumacher, the most maximalist filmmaker. Yeah. And I think that they struck a really good balance together. And it was always rumored. So, you know, Batman 5.
Yeah, that Triumphant, where he was going to play Scarecrow.
He was going to play Scarecrow.
I think it's called Batman Triumphant.
Well, I think you're right.
And they were going to have a sequence where Jack Nicholson reprised his role as the Joker, where... Batman got hit with a fear toxin and had like a nightmare sequence.
Right.
And like the Joker came back or some shit.
Yeah.
I remember the script's leaked, but yeah.
And then that fell through. I remember Schumacher came in and was like, I've got an idea. I want to adapt Batman Year One. I want to do Batman Begins.
He wanted to do it dark, didn't he? He was like, I'm sick of this camp shit.
Yeah.
Even he saw Batman and Robin. He was like, what did I do?
And then they were just like, that's a great idea, but not you, mate. We're going to go to Aronofsky so he can write this weird idea. And
where Alfred was a black mechanic called Big Al.
Still, that's the weirdest pitch ever.
Just insane. And Bruce Wayne was homeless and poor.
It would never have worked.
And then, well, Zack Snyder kind of took a bit because one thing I remember, I read that script when like Begins came out, the Bruce Wayne in it, I don't think he puts on a bat suit to like the last scene, but he has his father's ring, which has a T and a W, which looks like a bat signal.
Oh yeah.
But he, much like the branding in Batman vs. Superman, he punches people in their heads so it leaves a bat mark. I honestly think that came from Snyder read that and was like, that's amazing. I'm taking that horrible imagery and basing a 3.5 hour film around it.
That's my premise for the character. He just brands people.
He just insanity.
But what about the other Schumacher flicks?
Flatliners. Which was remade 2 years ago.
Yeah, it's Ellen Page. It's like they got the big one.
Yeah.
Before he started directing, he wrote a bunch of movies. He wrote Car Wash.
Oh, cool.
He wrote The Wiz, which may have been in your VHS.
I watched The Wiz, yeah.
The Wiz is an odd one. Sidney Lumet. Strange film.
But then, yeah, I guess like...
Speaking of Wizard of Oz.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Harlem, right? It's in Harlem?
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw that as a kid.
The Client with Susan Sarandon and Tommy Lee Jones. Good. A lot of work. But
that's a strange movie for him. It's so straight. It's like the era of the Pelican Brief. And like those weird
legal thrillers, conspiracy thrillers.
I think it makes sense to do after Falling Down, though.
Yeah.
I don't remember Dying Young. Julia Roberts and Campbell Scott. Who the fuck's Campbell Scott? Interesting.
Oh, gorgeous.
Batman Forever.
Batman Forever. Yeah. But he did a bunch of movies with Colin Farrell.
Yeah, Tigerland, Phone Booth.
Yep. Tigerland was the war one, wasn't it?
That's right.
And Phone Booth was originally for Jim Carrey.
Really?
Yeah, he was originally going to be the guy in the phone booth. I think it was like developed around working on Forever together.
Yeah.
It was like developed around Carrey being in that movie.
I think Phone Booth is a good thriller.
I really saw it at the cinema and being like, it was a great premise. Like the whole thing's in the booth, right?
Yeah, very Hitchcock.
Is there a shooter?
Yeah, because it's Colin Farrell's in the booth and Kiefer Sutherland is the shooter.
That's right. And you never see Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah, it's just I think it's mainly vocal performance.
Yeah. Yeah,
Colin Farrell, Forrest Whitaker, Katie Holmes.
Forrest Whitaker's like the cop who's helping
Kiefer Sutherland.
Yeah.
That was a great movie.
Yeah.
I watch that again.
Veronica Guerin. I don't remember that.
Oh, is that with Cate Blanchett?
Yeah. I remember the poster.
Yeah. I think that was kind of like an aim to be a prestige film.
That never happened. Gossip. I remember the poster. These are all movies that were out of the video store when I was a teenager.
He was just a producer of Gossip.
All right.
I never saw his Phantom of the Opera.
Apparently it stunk.
Amy Rossum, Jared Butler. It's okay. His style works for exactly that.
It's better than Cats, I'm sure.
Yeah. The worst movie in his canon, no doubt, The Number 23.
Oh, yeah.
Remember how weird that is? It was like the era of like Butterfly Effect and Donnie Darko and these like movies where they're like,
him reuniting
I
want to
be
Jim
a white
Carey.
Guy who has a mental problem in an asylum. And remember it's like the worst twist of all time.
I don't remember anything except like it's just he sees the number 23 everywhere and it means something to him.
It's just such a, it's a terrible film. I think it's like, honestly appalling. has 8% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yeah, that was a big one.
That's a big downfall.
Margaret and David reviewing that film.
What was the verdict?
They both said it stank.
Yeah, look. And then his last movie was Trespass in 2011.
With Nick Cage as well.
Yeah, with Nicole Kidman. Yeah, 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 I've seen that.
I think there's something about that's quite fun. I think that it captures like his big style, but it's also like, I think that he does thrillers really well. Like seeing 8mm again, I'm like, oh, I really like the way that he builds like tension in this like strange way.
It's Mendo's weird. In that movie too.
Oh,
yeah, he's the villain, right?
It was hot after Animal Kingdom where he's like popping off in American cinema.
He like robs the house or something? Yeah.
It's like a hostage situation type thing.
That's right. It's weird because for a guy who's like so well known, his style, people only think of his like campy Batman, but that's just like a fraction of what he was. But he was kind of like not an everyday man, but he had like Lost Boys, I guess, is similar in grit to like an 8mm and stuff. But then like Falling Down doesn't at all resemble those movies. Like you really can't pinpoint him. It's kind of strange. He's got a strange... Exactly.
If you want to recommend 3 Schumacher movies for someone who isn't aware of his mark on cinema, what would you recommend?
I would go Phone Booth, definitely. Lost Boys, definitely.
Lost Boys, definitely.
And then 8mm because it's fresh in my brain because I think that it's got a cool Nicolas Cage.
You don't think Falling Down? Well.
Oh, no. I'd go Falling Down then. Yeah.
I'd do
Falling
Lost
Down,
Boys.
Lost Boys.
I'd have to do Batman Forever because it was like, it's so neon. Like, it's they're like insane looking movies still.
Great
like,
U2 song.
Great U2
song. I imagine
song,
Joel wrote
just
that
just like
too.
Amazing costume. Not besides the bat costumes, like amazing costume design, insane makeup.
Yeah.
It's just like, I think it's like such a bizarre neon nightmare.
A crazy, like one of the like very memorable lighting in a movie.
Insane.
Well.
Like everything's bright purple or green, like
neo gothic or
it's
whatever.
It's insane.
Yeah.
Even just for that, I would like.
I think I even prefer Batman and Robin over Batman Forever.
Watch him
because it goes all the way. I tried Forever and I couldn't get into it, but Batman and Robin, Forever. Like it's fully in the camp because George Clooney is doing like a comedy
credit
performance.
Oh, but I love Val Kilmer's.
Val Kilmer was like an amazing Bruce Wayne. Kind of, I thought he's like one of the best Bruce Waynes.
I think he's too good for that movie. Like if he was more
Nicole
funny,
Kidman as well.
You know he shot
he
it.
He looks
is
incredible.
Chase
in
Meridian.
Chase Meridian.
What a great name.
He shot that at the same time as Heat.
No way.
He had to get his hair cut. That's why he has his hair cut short in a different scene in Heat.
Oh, wow.
Because he was already doing Bruce Wayne stuff.
Good lord.
Yeah. Is that insane? Like those two. And
those
then
two back to
Heat
back.
Inspired the Batman reboot.
Yeah.
Like it's that he was going to whatever. But I think I'd have to do Batman Forever. 100%.
Yeah.
It's iconic. I think like
one of the best advertising campaigns
McDonald's.
Alongside the McDonald's
cups.
Cups.
I've still got mine in there.
Batman Forever. And the Two-Face one was amazing because the handle was him flicking a coin. And so like the handle is like a bunch of coins.
Got that. Yeah. No, I've put the battering. Hang on, I'm going to go get it.
Go get it. So we can look at it. This one's for Joel. We're gonna drink.
I had like all those toys. I had like the Robin that had like you dunk his head in water and the domino mask would come up and off.
That cast is fucking so good.
Yeah. Oh,
Val
Chris
Kilmer,
O'Donnell,
Chris O'Donnell.
Come on.
Tommy Lee Jones, Jim Carrey, Nicole Kidman.
But then it's the supporting cast, Drew Barrymore and Debbie Mazar as like the Sugar and Spice. So strange that they're in that movie.
I've got Val.
Oh, yes.
And you've got, here we go. So Angus has the Batman Forever glass McDonald's cup.
Yeah.
Just, it's so good. And Ave, the logo with a question mark around the bat. Yeah.
That was a great decision.
Kiss from a Rose by Seal.
Yeah. Great song.
Now, remember,
do you
remember these were boycott because they were made in France and it was during the time France were doing nuclear.
That's right.
They're doing nuclear testing.
What?
They're doing nuclear bomb testing in the ocean and then there was a boycott to ban these. So I was like, Mom and Dad, we got to get to fucking McDonald's now and get these cups because I'm going to have a podcast with two white friends of mine in 20 years and we're going to need this when Joel Schumacher dies.
That
we're
was
all going to take a big shared sip out of that tonight in honor of Joel Schumacher.
Yeah, we're going to do a...
share coronavirus.
We're going to... It's the opposite of his song.
Is that how how did he die? Just being old?
Yeah, it was cancer.
But he was 80, you know.
Still, what a hero. What a diverse set of films. Like, I wouldn't say auteur by any means because, like, you wouldn't be watching a movie and go, like, this has to be Schumacher.
Yeah.
But just, like, such a, not quite an everyday journeyman director either. Just, like,
he definitely puts a stamp on his films.
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, we talked about, like, what a diverse array of genres that he worked in like with like teen horror with like Lost Boys, then like thrillers. Lost Boys
has aged so well too. You watch that, and it's a beautiful looking movie. I think it made the Santa Monica Pier like
an
like,
iconic location.
Totally. And it, every time you watch any film now that's set there, the first thing you think of is Lost Boys. Yeah. You're like, oh, it's just, yeah.
I think each one of those genres as well, you can feel his footprint in them to an extent as well. And I think, I think he is a bit of an important filmmaker in a weird way.
Just saw a photo of
Angus picked up my phone, thinking it was his, and goes, oh, it's yours. And then saw a photo of my daughter as the wallpaper, and goes, oh, nice.
Just like the nicest moment I've ever had on the podcast. Just my brain registered like the word family.
Yeah.
Love family. Oh,
nice. You're having brunch with her tomorrow.
I know. Yeah, she's not coming.
She's super excited.
Does Archie know? Is he pissed?
No, we haven't told Archie. He'll be pissed.
Oh, don't worry. I'll be FaceTiming him in the back seat and go, hey, guess what, bitch? And we're watching movies all day.
Oh, he'll be upset.
We had a parent-teacher meeting tonight over Zoom.
Oh, wow.
Were they like, he hates movies? No, ground him.
He has to repeat year one because he hates movies.
Just to it's too strange. Yes,
yeah. The last test is on the Simpsons movie and he won't watch it.
He likes it when it's up in chunks and stuff, but when he doesn't like it and he found the part where Bart's dick is shown quite strange and unlike anything else he'd ever seen.
He loved the Green Day cameo, though.
He can't stop singing American Idiot.
Yeah, he thought it was kind of ironic that Schwarzenegger was the Prime Minister, the President of the United States. And now we have a reality TV star as President of the United States. So he is quite sharp at looking up things.
But also,
like,
you notice the inconsistency in that Arnold Schwarzenegger as President was the same voice and basically character design as the character based on Arnold Schwarzenegger.
Yes, McBain. And he's like, obviously, it's just a tough thing, but I'm seeing
you guys literally saying exactly what was said today.
Well, we're the teacher. Of course. We team teach. It's the AV club, and he's failing. What do the teachers say?
He's very high. He just thinks so.
He's Dr. Uncle.
And you're like, I'm microdosing him every morning. Every time he eats cocoa puffs.
No, he's good at maths and good at English, but he just doesn't ever pay attention. And it was with him. Like we had to have.
Well, you're like, yeah, because it's COVID, you idiot.
No. He was like, oh, he has trouble paying attention. And he was sitting next to me at the time. And I looked over at him and he's going like,
what is he doing?
Like bouncing and eating his pen and like not paying it any attention. I was like, oh, yeah, good point, I guess.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
But he's just a kid. Like, that's what kids do.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
It's also like, he's also not even, was he six?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like he's six. Like, what were you doing?
But like, yeah, like it is something we're going to have to work on.
ADD?
You, me, and Alexia are going to have to work on this.
Hey,
we've got to try it.
It was tough telling you, but you had to find out somehow. I was like that as a kid. I'm fine.
Yeah.
Tell him to channel it into...
Get him a collecting hobby of some kind. I'm sure he'll work out properly.
You just turn your mic off, you idiot.
I was doing everyone a favor.
you said,
I'm great.
You were like, I was like that as a kid and I turned out great. Then you immediately turned your mic off
and just leave the house.
Kept talking.
I leave the house. I'm like done with the pod. I'm like, well, that's done. Now I'm going to watch this.
So let's talk about The Last of Us 2, the latest game from Naughty Dog.
Who let the dogs out?
Crash
Bandicoot let the dogs out.
Yeah, we're a trio of naughty dogs ourselves. So I have to talk about this video game. I'd say.
Ain't nothing but a naughty dog.
Well, I wanted to do a really good segue, but I don't think I can because it's a spoiler.
Mm.
So I'll save it.
Yeah. So
save it for the after
dog. See if you can guess what.
Wait, are we talking about the Crash 4 trailer?
Did you watch that?
Why is it
Fatboy Slim? Funk Soul, like right about Rockefeller Skank.
It looks appalling.
Did you watch it?
I didn't watch it.
It's a trailer for Crash Bandicoot 4. And it's like, everyone's back. Crash is back. His hot sister is back.
The villain with an N-word on his head.
Dr. Nefarious, whatever his name is. No.
It's the worst villain. He has the N on his head.
And it's like, Dr. N-word is back, and then the whole thing is set to, right about now. Funk Soul, brother, check it out now.
But like, it is also the perfect trailer for it because it looks like such a dated game.
We're going back to the Funk Soul era.
Bro, again, awesome. I'm Rockefeller skanking my way to the video game store to buy that.
Man, I never played any of those games because I had a Nintendo. Same.
So you never heard Crash Bandicoot say, whoa!
No, never. I borrowed a friend's PlayStation to play it.
Never saw it. Is he Aussie?
I think it's like it's a cultural appropriation.
Is it like Aussie's paraphernalia and stuff?
Yeah, there's villains in it who are like koalas and kangaroos and stuff. Like it's set in Australia.
I should have played it.
But it's all, it's like
so I could do the
Aussie
tour,
face. It's through the it's through the visage of a...
Like Ty the Tasmanian Tiger, which is actually Australian as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So many platform mascots.
It's funny because like Croc Dundee came out and then 8 years later they made games based on like the weird like international love of Australia that lasted 4 months. And like we finally finished the games.
Well, too bad.
I would play a Crocodile Dundee platformer.
Yeah. Do you know Blinks the Cat is also Aussie?
Really? What type of feline? Is that the Penrith Jaguar? You know, there's that rumor of like the Penrith Panther. Dude,
the Penrith Panther.
Is that like a great shit local legend?
You know about it? I reckon
it's real. Yeah, it's like a story.
It's real. I believe it.
Someone filmed it recently.
Yeah, I saw video footage of the Penrith Panther recently and I believe it. That's true.
I saw him.
It's huge.
He was chewing a pen and ignoring everyone. Yeah. No, there's like a there's a legend that there's like a big cat out in like Penrith.
We should go hunt it.
I'd love to. That sounds like a really nice movie.
I love big cats.
It's like a Taika Waititi movie. We go out and like bond over.
And Sam Neill's out
there. Sam Neill's there. Yeah, I just heard the word hunt and just went straight to that movie.
Yeah, hunt for the big cat people.
We can make it nice and twee, but...
Like, or we could all be Nazis.
The choice is
yours.
Doesn't
that sound fun?
Oh, God.
Then we can be twee Nazis.
Yes, I remember those.
No, but
like
look, even Nazis have montages to We Can Be Heroes. Heroes by David Bowie. Yeah. It's fine. Nazis like also listen to David Bowie. He recorded in Berlin.
Yeah,
arguably
true.
The most Nazi city of all time.
That's true.
So, look, I think that movie just says, no matter what you do, no matter who you
oppose.
We can
all still like music and have a little dance together.
Yeah. Also, yeah.
Yeah, that movie sucked, dude. I hated that movie in retrospect.
We watched it together.
We saw it together.
That's right. I saw it like a month after you guys did.
Yeah, I was not a fan.
You guys watched some Sonic the Hedgehog together.
Yeah.
Fuck, we sure did. This is Alexi's last film. He saw it in cinemas.
Was that your last episode on this year?
Last time I was in this house, dude.
It's the last guest we've had.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Fuck, bro.
Last of Us.
Last of Us.
So we've all played the original.
Yeah.
Yeah. Levin's just finished it for the first time.
Yeah, I finished it last week. I never finished it on the PS3 because I was too scared. it came out when my wife was pregnant and I couldn't play it while she was around.
Yeah.
And when women are pregnant, dude, they're just always around.
Yeah. And you do so want to imprint on your child these memories of Joel and Ellie and the.
Were you playing
clickers?
The soundtrack on her stomach at night?
Just sound of it.
No wonder why
you got a Bluetooth speaker just like put up against.
No wonder your kid hates movies.
No, he should hate video games. He loves those.
I mean, hey, arguably, this is what we're going to talk about. It's a very cinematic video game. Set the bar high.
Before we talk about Last of Us 2, I want to ask you one question. Yeah. Have you seen a little movie called Schindler's List?
I actually rewatched it very recently.
Oh, wow.
I watched it during, it was one of my first COVID things because I'm like, I'm going to watch all the long movies I put off rewatching or
what
watching
else was
for the
in
first
that?
Time. Amadeus, brother.
Oh, yeah, that's a great movie.
Amadeus and Schindler's List knocked them off in the first week and I love both of them still. They're both great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I prefer Amadeus.
Did you see the tweet last week that was like...
Alexi deleted Twitter.
I deleted Twitter off my phone. I still have an account. It's still there. I just don't... I check it every couple of days. Why, man? Because
you just every day you were like, oh, I wonder what Trump said.
Dumb place.
I only follow Trump. And I was like, the world is quite negative right now, seeing only this perspective.
My guy's... Yeah. Everyone hates my guy.
I really got sick of social media because I was like... I'm home all the time, so I'm always looking at it. I've got to get away from it, focus on my work again. Now I'm going back to work.
Play cool apps.
Play The Last of Us. I deleted Circle Play. Last of Us uninterrupted.
Yeah, I've seldom checked social media since like
we get it, bro.
Yeah, since COVID. I don't know. Mm. It's like I think you're right. Being at home makes me look at it less. Like when I was working or out, I'd be like fidgeting and distracting myself, but no,
you guys
I'm sitting next to Lemons on my phone. you guys are chomping on it.
You guys are missing Me Too too right now.
Yeah, shit,
it's going down.
Are we though? Like,
no, yeah, it's you're right. Twitter is insane.
Yeah,
it's also like a bubble.
Do you ever think about like what the Last of Us guys would do if they had Twitter?
Yeah, probably talk to each other. You know, ask for help and stuff.
That's
like
a future
that.
I want. I'd rather a like, you know, infection that's.
Ellie has to deal with getting cancelled halfway through.
Ellie loses her blue tick.
She would get her blue tick,
and she's like, "Fuck!"
Quite devious in the second game.
Yeah.
What was it like going for? Did you go directly from Last of Us to Last of Us 2?
Yeah, I finished that last week, and then
I finished it last. You finished
week.
It before, and I still was playing it up until Thursday. I think I went like DLC Thursday midnight.
I love
it. Yeah, so I got the game on Friday, and I played like an hour of it, and then I wasn't able to play it all weekend. So then I spent most of Monday playing it, most of Tuesday night, last night, and then some of today. So I'm about 10 hours in.
Yeah,
I finished it at 32.
Yeah, I am taking my time
game
with this.
Same. 7 hours, dude. I speed ran it. I sprinted the whole game.
I quit. I fast forwarded every cutscene. I had no idea who the fucking half of the people were.
Dude, I actually beat the game at the end. I was like, I beat it, dude.
But like, it is like, I took my time too.
I'm backtracking. I'm searching in every like nook and
every
cranny.
Every crevice, dude. I'm looking inside every crevice. I was like
crouching and open up drawers.
I had like this just sense of dread about this game, not because I wasn't looking forward to playing it, just because like the conversations around it, and this is, you know, testament to why I should have also deleted social media. Because
last week you and I had a discussion, and you were like, "What about all the stuff people are saying?" I'm like, "I don't know what people are saying."
I mean, I follow
it's a bubble. I honestly, like, the regular person on the street has no fucking idea of these conversations. Mm. They're just like, video game is
but I mean like this is reminding me a lot of like when Joker came out I was like I didn't like
reminded
the
me
movie,
of The Last Jedi,
but I didn't dislike the movie for all the reasons that everyone else didn't dislike the movie. And then also but then the people that who really liked the movie were like worse than everyone. And like, whereas this is like, I don't think any
The Last Jedi, not Joker in that regard.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's like being review bombed because of
You're right.
Plot points.
Joker certainly wasn't. If anything, Joker's like the opposite of this.
That's what I mean.
The worst people love that movie.
It's the Last Jedi. It's a risky sequel that makes you uncomfortable because it does things with characters you don't really want to think about. But it propels the story. And like, we won't talk about spoilers yet, but you know, it's being you just need to go to Metacritic, which again is not a perfect system, but it has like 96 or 97 like professional reviews, like that's its rating.
And review scores like low 30s.
And it's just like been absolutely bombed. And they're like, you sent that picture last week where there was that shot by shot comparison of the end of the first game, which again, not a spoiler, but they replay like scenes from the ending of the first game. And they've obviously.
Yeah, Joel's final decision in the first Last
of
Us.
And it's when Ellie's in the back of
the
car.
Inspiration for this entire game.
Yeah.
Totally. I mean, this game would not exist without that like open-ended ending.
Yeah.
It's almost like this is less of a part two and like second half of a whole.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know if I disagree with that. I think that this to me is like, this is a testament to what I like about sequels.
Good
sequels.
Especially
sequels where it's like an unplanned trilogy an unplanned series where they go, okay, what can we deal with? And I think I like sequels a lot because when they're done right like this,
Empire, Toy Story 2,
Godfather Part 2, stuff like that.
The good sequels.
Gremlins 2
is another great example of it where they go, okay, well, we've established this world. We've established what the world that our characters live in. We've established our characters. And now what do we do? The extension comes from like thematic elements rather than like, oh, how are we going to progress this story?
Or where
further?
Lesser filmmakers would go, let's just do the same thing again, but set it in a different city. Which
yeah.
is
yeah. Like, or what's another like, adventure that they can totally. Go on? We're like, oh, now Ellie's the charge. Let's get Joel to be a sidekick this time or something.
And like but lesser movies like, do that, and audiences like that. And it's especially a trope in video games where they will just make the same game again. And we don't really get that connection where, I don't know, where they can do a thematic.
Yes.
Risk within the confines of the medium.
Well, I think even when you compare Naughty Dog games, like I think, yeah, the jump from one to two in the Uncharted games is massive enough that like, even though they hit similar beats in the narrative.
One was just kind of corny, quick fun. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah, totally. It's a massive
It was like,
jump.
Hey, we can do realistic graphics now. Mm.
Yeah,
it was
and
kind
then
of that.
Two to three, I don't think is that different.
No, they're very similar.
But like, I loved that just because I wanted more of Uncharted when the
I get them
one
mixed
came
up
out.
Like when I think about the plot points.
And then I think four is such a massive step again where it's them kind of reinventing how they tell a story, but also you have that amazing open area section. And like a lot of people argue that like from a gameplay point of view, Lost Legacy is the best Uncharted game. Have you played that one?
Yeah, I loved it.
And I think that is like one of like you can see how much Lost Legacy influenced
Last of Us.
Last of Us 2.
Heaps.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think for me it's like I really enjoy that this deals with thematic elements from the first game of like choices.
I mean, it wouldn't
and decisions
exist without the first game.
Of course.
It's the whole this is like the end of the first game. It's like a grandfather clock and a pendulum swung one way.
Yeah.
And like this game is the pendulum swinging the other way. It's just like a trickle down effect of everything from that decision to like the whole 32 hours are encompassed with that ending of the first game, I found.
And there's all this, like, this, it's able to deal with, like, all this stickiness, like, all these strain, like, these, it's a, when you're doing a sequel, you're able to go more specific with what the theme is. It doesn't have to be as broad. You can hone it down.
Like, the and first movie is, like, or the first part of the thing is, like, world building. It's, like, here is the storyline. And, like, I think The Last of Us does it well. It drip feeds you what's happened. You don't really know what's happened. You learn it in bursts and by the end of the game, you kind of have a rough idea, but it's like world building and just like, it is a, that is like a very basic story, that game. It's like a road trip. It's like a road trip movie. It's like, we're going to get here to here.
Exactly.
But via way of Cormac McCarthy.
Yeah, exactly.
Where the second game just doubles down on the McCarthy-ness. And
yeah.
But yeah, the world building is out of control in this, I found. Like I had no idea how like varied the country America was in the game, like based on like factions and stuff. It's fascinating.
Yeah, and especially like playing it now where you're, you know, we are seeing how the world has reacted to an outbreak of...
Do you think that's why it was delayed?
I think there is part of it like that.
So I read a lot of criticism that was like, you know, this is the wrong game to come out now.
This is what I want to ask. What was the dread you had before playing? Like, hone in on that. I want to know why you were like...
So I read a really great article by Maddie Myers, who used to write for Kotaku.
Playboy,
now she writes for Playboy.
I read it for the articles, man. I never fucking look. I get the articles sent to me. You cut them out. You buy the magazine.
I chop them out. I make a collage for myself and I make a little book for you, dude.
Yeah, it's nice. I
cut out the articles and make porn with them.
Yeah. I wank to the crossword. It's fine. It's a very visceral.
Now she wrote it for Polygon. And it basically was kind of saying that, like, you know, this is a game that forces you to feel bad about the violence you're inflicting on everyone and realize that violence is not the answer. But the frustration comes from the fact that the character you're playing as never seems to learn that lesson.
Yes.
That, you know, she's just, you know, forever. You know, she gave a few references that I've not encountered yet, but mainly it was like, you know, like when you kill a dog, it then gives you a flashback to when you were...
It doesn't, by the way.
Yeah, so that's strange. Yeah. Anyway, so who knows?
Maybe I
may have misread a part of that article.
This is what I mean, is dangerous with reading stuff, I think, too much before you engage with someone.
Sure, I wasn't rating the game. I was just saying I was dreading it.
It's dangerous. It's a bad thing. I've just now had to disconnect from that because I went in with... I found myself going with like loaded notions and emotions with things I hadn't even engaged with yet.
Sure.
I just think that's like super, super dangerous to like lose critical thinking or something.
I think as well, it's like the way that sounds is like, I think it's a problem that Naughty Dog has had in the past with the Uncharted games as well. But it's because video games is an imperfect art form because you know, they are there. There has to be a sense of interaction to it. There has to be a sense of entertainment to it. And so, you know, the gameplay,
the tropes will still be there. That are as a
video the tropes
game.
Are still there, but the gameplay is
like often, there's no way she's fitting those scissors in a fucking backpack. You know what I'm saying?
But like, I mean, more like the gameplay is in conflict with the thematic element as well, where it's like this is like in GTA is a big one where it's like, you know, GTA 4, it's all like
Faggio Scooter.
Yeah, but it's all like he doesn't. It's all about like, oh, he's trying to go straight. He's not trying to kill anymore. He's trying to become a good guy.
But of course, who wants to play that
then,
game?
Yeah, exactly. And then you're out there like you immediately just
only
run
Hideo
someone
Kojima
over.
Would make a game where you have to not kill somebody, which actually would be amazingly fun.
And then this game is all about, and like, you know, this game, Red Dead, stuff like that, and Uncharted, where it's like, you know, you're on a mission to like either kill one person or something like that. And it's about like the conflict of like killing people, but then you're just wasting freaking dudes every step of the game. So I think that's why video games, like, I do believe it is an art form, and I do believe that what I experienced playing The Last of Us 2 is like an immense artistic achievement and like probably the best piece of storytelling I've interacted with this year. It's an imperfect medium because you can't just be direct with your themes. You have to make the interactive. You have to make it enjoyable. You have to make it fun to play.
It's like you can't make a movie that doesn't have certain elements in it because no one's going to go watch it. Like, it is still a commercial product with like the idea is to sell units or put asses on seats. And it's like, you do obviously have to acquiesce and go, well, it is a video game, so you better have a shootout sequence.
Yeah.
But what I think is like something that I see that like people a complaint of is being like, oh, there's no choice to do these things, but there's never choice in video games.
Yeah.
Like, if there is, it's not a story based game.
I think this game, what I've played at it so far, is much more successful in like this being a fun experience, even though the story that's being told and the deaths you're having to carry out are gruesome and gross. For whatever reason, I don't know, I can't pinpoint exactly what this game does better that the first one didn't. I think
it's like the less on rails, maybe?
Well, yeah, there's
a sense of mystery too. Like, you don't know who these people are attacking you. I think there's a big mystery of this game, which isn't in the first game. The first game, the mystery is like, this girl is immune, save her. And it's just a journey where this is like, who is this person I'm trying to hunt? Who are these factions? Who are these people? And it's just like, there's a lot of questions that you don't know and a lot of...
Yeah, and they definitely make a point of being like, these guys suck. They're always attacking you first without seeing if you're good or bad. Like, they deserve to be taken down. But then they try and humanize it. So like, whenever you kill someone, they're like, Vince!
They always say their names.
They got Joe!
Yeah.
But I kind of love that. I don't know. Yeah.
Oh, totally.
But what I was saying, like the articles that are being written, like, either saying this is the wrong game for now, or there was one in the New York Times that was like, this is a dark game
for a dark time.
I don't really agree with, I feel like this game feels so disconnected from what we're 100%. It feels like it doesn't feel like anything like
I went out and licked handrails after this. I was like, we're very safe. Like, this is shut up, you idiots.
Yeah.
I think
we're in Australia where there's like no COVID deaths compared to
I think
it's
like,
more
except for Victoria, bro, man. Fucking don't talk to anyone from Victoria.
I don't. Trust me.
We're having a poll. Don't. How much money do you want to put on Tommy Dassler getting COVID?
Oh no.
I can't. This would be off mic for me.
Okay.
Because I just got paid today. No.
Maybe we should bleep that.
Yeah. No, it's funny.
Okay.
But
I understand.
I think that for me, it's like, you know, you obviously like there is stuff that can be drawn to like what's happening today in the world. But it's more like, you know, seeing there's parts in the game where you're like, you so much of the game, a lot of like the backstory and world building comes from like reading all these notes and stuff. And like kind of seeing those, it's like, oh shit. Like,
and
you're
like, oh, this person killed me. I was trying to escape.
Yeah.
But the WLF came. And one thing that a criticism I read was like, the choice isn't there. Like, you have to carry out these horrific things. But I'm playing that and experiencing it. I'm thinking like, well, this is amazing because as far as I'm aware, I'm never going to do these things in real life.
Yep.
But I'm, instead of watching somebody on the screen carry out decisions that I don't know whether I would make or not in the moment, which is like the point of like, so many great stories and films. And it is like, we are comparing this specifically to a film because it is so reliant on the genre, the medium in a lot of parts. Mm. But I love having to carry out these uncomfortable moments in the game. And then again, without getting to spoilers, like making me not justifying it, but just making me understand that like, there is a grief process being carried out, and like the limit of a human, what they will go to. It's hard to say without spoilers, mm-hmm. obviously, because you're like 10 hours in, but there's like so much other thematic stuff, but it's all based to this simple thing that like, how far will somebody go?
Yeah.
Well, it's a revenge. It's a revenge tale. Yeah.
But like, there's a level of sympathy which unlocks, and you're just kind of like, well, I don't know what I would do, and it toys with your emotions, and I love being forced to do that. I think that's such a unique thing in a game that, you know, Mario has choices obviously, but you can run around and kill which Goombas you want, and that's fine.
Yeah.
And that's the point of the game, and you can decide like which stars to collect first. But I love, this is the route I have to go. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like, plot-wise, it's obviously very on rails, but putting me in those positions, I found like it's so engaging and forcing me to like question myself, which is kind of, I haven't got that out of a game in a long time.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm.
And being like, oh, this is horrific, but I'm doing it, and it's kind of making me side with these horrible decisions.
Yeah.
Which is really interesting.
It's rare for a game to be challenging beyond like the gamification aspect of it, of like, oh, challenging because I want to beat this level of stuff and difficulty factor. Like, there's moments in this game where you are, you know, you have to like torture someone, and you have to be the one to like press the button to do that. And you're like, oh, do my morals align with this? Do I believe, or in the role-playing aspect, do I believe my character's morals align with like the actions they're taking? And it's actually very challenging. Like, the way that art is challenging, the way from cinema is challenging.
Yeah.
Because like, there is a disconnect, but there's also not a disconnect because you are the one having to perform those actions.
And we see the scenes in between too, like, you know, in a torture scene in a film, it might cut to the next day.
Yeah.
But we're seeing in this, like, we're playing the immediate aftermath, or like experiencing the weight of that event. Yeah. And it's not shrugged off either. Like, these things come back to like haunt you to a degree.
There's, I think, because there's a role-playing aspect to games where there's an empathy that's different to cinema. Cinema can be a bit, it's an active experience, but has a passive experience to it as well, because video games are an active experience where you are like the active participant, you're the protagonist. It's interesting to see how people that don't often deal with challenges in their media intake accept how they are reacting to this game. Because I think that, you know, there has been a dilution to like mainstream entertainment. And I think that something like this, it's like challenging more so than most movies that have been aimed at like a mainstream audience have been in quite some time. That seeing the reaction to this game, to people just like, you know, almost getting it, like going like, oh, I feel, this makes me feel bad. And then if you just take that feeling and then interrogate why it makes you feel bad, congratulations, you fucking figured out
you've
art.
Thought about something for yourself.
You've experienced artistic.
You've been made to feel uncomfortable because something has questioned your...
Yes.
Like, even last week I was saying like, or maybe I was saying it in the Discord, but I'm like, I feel like we've reached an era where like, unless we're explicitly told somebody is a hero, like we just don't see a lot of ambiguity anymore. I think in mainstream media, I don't know if it's Marvel movies it's to blame, or this like the idea of a superhero or this person being like the protagonist, it hasn't made a lot of room for gray area protagonists.
You know who would love this game? Martin Scorsese.
He would flip his shit for it, honestly.
No, because the de-aging looks good. Like, the aging looks great on the when you switch back to young Ellie and stuff. You know, it actually looks good.
Did you just fucking burp again?
I did. I've been burping. Sorry.
What'd you eat? That's awesome.
You just had cloves upon cloves of garlic.
Yeah, I had went to the Min in Dollar Chill. I got takeaway from there. One of my favorite restaurants in my life ever. I got
garlic soup.
Yeah, everything just a couple was garlic. Gloves, obviously, everything was garlic. I got like barbecue pork rolls that you like assemble yourself.
Mm-hmm. Fuck yeah, dog.
I got fish cakes. Mm. I got beef in betel leaves. Beagle. I got a stuffed chicken wing. Entrees only, brother. Apps only, dude.
That's great. That's all I'm doing. Mm.
So we're going to continue talking about Last of Us for the next hour.
Spoiler episode.
All spoilers. If you want, if you are like me and you've only played half the game so far, you can listen to the first half of the episode.
If you simp your family a lot.
If you've been out there simping.
We will put in, we will say when spoilers come in. We'll give you guys a warning.
Because I'm just going to straight up leave. So as soon as you stop hearing me, then Alexi and Angus are going to talk about the end of the game.
We're going
to
bully Levins into leaving.
Yeah, and they're going to steal my recording equipment as well.
And then make you come back and buy me lunch tomorrow. Yeah. It's just 4D chess, man. Yeah. I'll tell you what. It's checkmate.
But your experience so far, how have you been enjoying it? Do you...
Yeah.
Do you... Oh, man, I've been loving it. So like, I had trepidations and... And I think for the first...
Like, just from stuff that people were saying, or you had like personal trepidation? I didn't after
like...
The first
I think
game?
The first game's really good, but I think the narrative is very heavy-handed. And I think like there were moments in it that like... I think
heavy-handed for in general, do you think? Because this is something I've been thinking about. It's
just
for
a fucking video game.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is what I think. It's a great video game, yeah. But it, like everyone celebrates it like this like marvel of...
I think
of, you know, people are like, you know, like there's another hilarious review. The main reason I'm on Twitter is so I see stupid shit that makes me laugh.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
One thing that made me laugh last week was someone reviewed Last of Us 2 saying, people are always asking, when a video game's going to catch up to movies? But after you play Last of Us 2, you'll be wondering when movies catch up to video games.
Good lord.
Was that a joke though?
No, it's real.
Real.
Yeah.
That's
so...
And so that's, I mean, it's like things like that. People think these... People like...
Yeah. Well, it's because they don't engage with art. And so because this is like a step above like a regular video game in terms of maybe making them think something different that isn't like, oh, I'm going to get the British version of GTA Vice City so I can bang a sex worker.
Yes.
Because it's like take them outside of that comfort zone.
Yeah.
To them, it's high art. It's
By
probably
the
like
way,
when
the British version of Vice City is called The Getaway, dude.
Of course.
Yeah.
The getaway dude.
The getaway,
I'm the getaway dude.
The getaway dude. I'm the real getaway dude. Okay.
The getaway gov.
But I mean, like, you know, maybe it's an elitist thing where I'm like, you know, I've played indie games that I do consider art, that I do consider like tremendous storytelling.
I do think like the first one is a mainstream game, and I do think.
The part where you have to torture the other flower.
What about Nintendogs? Yeah. I didn't feed that bitch
Nintendogs
for weeks.
Art, dude.
I was reading this shit about her shooting a dog in Last of Us. I was like, have you played Nintendogs,
dog? I kill all my dogs.
I snapped the cartridge. That thing's not alive.
Angus got a Tamagotchi this week, by the way.
Yeah, I got an Evangelion Tamagotchi.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. I've got to
Does it play like sound effects from the show and shit?
No, it's like based on the original Tamagotchi. So like,
no, it just gives you depression.
It'll do
and
like,
stuff like
MIDI
that.
Versions of stuff. Yeah.
That's mad. Does Shinji like do shits and stuff?
It's not Shinji. It's an angel.
Okay.
Or they call them apostles. I forgot in Japan. Yeah, so when I was using the Google Translate, it was giving me all the instructions. But yeah, I think it's because like, I don't know, Last of Us, again, it's like when it's like mainstream and so many of those audiences.
It's a game.
It's a game.
Yeah. And
it's a mainstream game. It's not even like an indie game.
It's me reacting to a very, very hyped, and rightfully so, piece of media, you know, 7 years after it came out.
Yes.
Of course, I'm going to be like, oh, this ain't all that. You know?
You're going to be the guy who's playing 12 inches in the corner going like, oh, I see you've listened to
Jay-Z.
Let me tell you about hip-hop.
Naughty Dog games, I feel like I enjoy them so much while I'm playing them, and then as soon as I finish playing them, someone will mention something that they didn't like, and I'll be like, oh yeah, that was annoying.
Yeah.
Oh well, I didn't really notice at the time, but like, and then you become hyper aware of this thing that you didn't notice in a game you loved. I don't know.
So I don't listen
like
to anybody. So I've never had that problem. I'm just like, yeah, whatever. I enjoyed it. Also, I think like, especially video games, and I think I was saying this to you the other day, like. It is one of the only mediums which I think is actively improved by technology advancements, where I think like, you know, it hasn't really impacted like books or written media or even movies. Like arguably people like filmmaking's gotten, it needs more restrictions like they used to have and like more imagination. Mm. But I do think like video games is something that's obviously improved upon with technology being improved. So I don't know. It's like, it is kind of crazy because something that's like a 7-year-old game that is like light years away from what we're playing now.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Course,
like, and it's so hindered by that time and place, which at the time it was like the most impressive game.
Yeah, totally.
Like it pushed that system to its limits. It was like this incredible swan song.
Yeah, I found that game very bleak for the sake of being bleak in parts.
Mm.
And I mean, obviously I'm quite early in the game. I haven't experienced that feeling yet in this. And I wonder if I will. I wonder if it will seem edgy to me. Mm. I don't know. But it so far, besides like the first... maybe 90 minutes where I was just like, just let me play the fucking game.
Yeah.
Stop setting shit up. Yeah. Stop pretending like I need to tutorial section.
See, no, I wanted that because I knew shit was going to get bad. And I was like, I just want everyone to be chilling out in Jackson for a few more hours.
Yeah, okay. The snowball fight with the kids.
I was like,
the kids are like, oh, what the fuck? Fuck you. Like,
I was just like, I just need this to be good because I know things are about to go bad. I had a feeling.
Yeah. And the initial like interactions between Dina and Ellie, I found really tedious as well. Like, just like, like pretty weak writing, and like it was just like them kind of like flirting but badly with each other.
I didn't find it. I don't know. I found the acting and.
Well, then
you're a master flirt.
So. Now, yeah, it's true. Everyone knows
that. Leisure Suit Larry.
Dude, you're the only one with kids. I mean, it's obvious that you filmed.
No, but then I found, especially Dino, I think is an excellent character.
See, I remember when playing Last of Us, the first one, at the time I liked it more than any of the Uncharted's. I don't know why. I found the story better. I thought it was like just such a great trope we've seen in video games, like you defending a kind of defenseless thing and having to lead it.
It doesn't have an old mustachioed man in a bowling shirt who like talks about hookers. So
you couldn't
I was like, I don't know if it's better than Uncharted.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, Sully pumping babes from across the globe is like, it's hard to top. But I know I really just dug that first game the first time I played it.
No, I enjoyed the hell of it last week. I was just worried. I was like, should I not have done these back to back?
It's going to work much more, I think.
So we're going to continue talking about the game for a long while.
I want to say, if you don't like the game, that's so fine. Like,
that's so brave of you.
No, but like, I know some people are like, I don't like this game.
I hope she hears this.
I hope she hears it. Mom, if you're listening, yeah, I know you hated this. No, but like, we're not elitists who are like, I don't want to say I hate those articles where people are like, I don't want to be going like, oh, I hate those articles. They're wrong. I don't think they're wrong. I just don't agree with them. Yeah, I mean, if you don't like the game, that's fine.
And I think when none of us are saying that like any art is you know, all art deserves criticism.
Yeah, 100%. Like,
you should be critical of everything you consume.
Totally, 100%.
Yeah. Anyway,
so I would say if you don't like this game, there's a screw loose in your freaking brain, dude. It's my favorite game.
Wow.
No, I think it's really good. I loved it. But I think, I think that the backlash is strange.
Better than the Sopranos PS2
same
game.
Yeah, Road to Respect is so far my favorite game, and Last of Us
Mine's
2
Scarface
is
Scarface 2.
Yeah.
The what if?
The world is yours.
Yeah, the world is yours.
Come and join us over at PayFam. We do 2 episodes of PayFam every single week. One is the one you just listened to in the free feed. We do another one in the pay feed. It's just $5 a month to access a whole another episode of PayFam every single week. Many people would say it's the better of the 2 episodes we do each week.
Alexi, where can people find you? If they are poor and don't sign up.
Oh, head on over to the Total Reboot podcast that me and Cameron James do. We do Total Reboot every week. It's also on Sans Pants. And we're currently celebrating our 100th episode.
Oh, yeah. We're dipping the pen of the company series. In, can't
yeah,
we?
Yeah, exactly.
With 100 minutes with Angus Trusker.
100 minutes with Angus Trusker. We're doing
Q&A. Actually coming on.
He's going to do one. We're doing a mega series about Nicolas
Cage. Like 7 episodes. I've done like 2.
You came here with two movies. Exactly. I'll tell you why. You came here with 2 movies you didn't watch. And that's why you're not on it. It's a movie podcast.
Alexi lent me 2 Blu-rays a year ago. And I gave them back to him today.
And I'm like, which ones did you watch?
I haven't watched either of them.
It's 4 movies. Because one's a trilogy.
It's a movie podcast.
Yeah.
And plus, you're on 5 podcasts.
Yeah,
like,
exactly. How am I going to track you down?
You're getting shit out. People, you know, you got.
Guys, don't listen to Alexi's podcast until he gets me on there 5
okay,
more times.
Okay, Levins is going to be on. He's going to be also, regular once again, like the good old days.
Also, I'm around the corner now, so like.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
If someone leaves,
I'm moving in. I'm going to start playing League of Legends, and I'm
going to
move
downstairs. Basically, me and Alexi are making our own podcast.
We only do inner city people on our podcast because it's more convenient for us.
I'd love if you moved downstairs the other house and become like this becomes the esports house, and I'm like, what have I done? How have I lived before?
Get known esports 11s.
I want to do like a movie where it's like a guy, like it's like Animal House except esports.
Yes,
like I'm the straight guy who's like, hey, I'm the dean who hates it.
Oh,
two guys, a girl, and a esports cafe.
Seriously, I need this in my life. Esports house.
We're doing Nicolas Cage. That's what I'll say. Nicolas Cage. We've done Gone in 60 Seconds. We did City of Angels this week.
And I don't want the world
what a
video. To see me.
That I remember just the like trench leather jacket he's wearing looking at us.
Looking at
looks like
deeper.
Jack Sparrow.
Yeah, so bad. That's actually, Goo Goo Dolls, Iris.
Canadian band.
There's one of my favorite things to inflict on people when I'm wasted at their house is a YouTube video of Avril Lavigne covering that song.
That's right.
But it's the Goo Goo Dolls bring for their biggest song, arguably the only hit they had. They don't sing it themselves. They bring out Avril Lavigne. Oh, like imagine,
you know, they've got like a huge following. When I interviewed, what's his name? How did I forget his name? The dude from The Room. Who plays Mark? No.
Oh, yes.
Years ago, Greg Sestero. I was like, what music are you into? And he's a huge Goo Goo Dolls fan. And
they've got the same haircut.
He actually looks like a Goo Goo
Doll.
Yeah. But they have fan, like, they're a band that I think just haven't translated outside of North America. Yeah. Like, they have, you know, like how Fish is like, I'm not at all comparing them to Fish in terms of talent, but you know how Fish is a band that's like never left America in terms of fandom. Like, I think they're like that. They're like quite self-contained, but people like, get the fuck into Goo Goo Dolls.
Or like Bare Naked Ladies.
Totally. Oh, these bands are just never translated outside. I think they're like kind of part of that. But he was like, oh man, really into Goo Goo. Either that or he's just got Goo-Goo shit music and I was giving him a benefit.
Or he's fucking with you.
I don't know, man. I've had a, his public decisions have been.
Yeah, I'm a big Goo Goo boy.
I'm what you call a Goo Goo Doll. Horrible name.
Okay, Goo Goo Dolls.
One of the worst names.
Hey, Goo Goo. Hey, Goo Goo.
Just kind of
play
like...
Play Iris by Goo Goo.
Just like a gooey sound. Just a gooey name. It's a bit nasty.
Yeah, I love
Goo Goo Dolls.
Hey, Goo Goo. I'm watching Goo Goo Box, dude. My favorite TV show.
Okay, Goo Goo. Look,
I'm thinking of that. Okay,
how long can you look up directions to my house on Goo Goo Maps?
I'm thinking of that ad. You know the
Google Pixel, Google Mobile, G O O D O L L.
Him spelling out Google Dolls.
Someone
the Google Dolls.
Can we get that actor back and do that with Goo Goo Dolls?
That guy's got to be dead, bro.
G-O-O, Goo Goo Dolls.
I've got a problem. He's calling like brashes because his CD scratched. He's like, I got a problem. That was an iconic ad, hands down.
Yeah, great ad.
That and Go to Bed, Jessica are the two ads I remember.
Yeah, Go to Bed, Jessica. Dude.
Just because we had a girl in our class called Jessica. Go to Bed, Jessica. Everyone used to scream, Go to Bed, Jessica.
I could honestly do an hour on Goo on just the
words. Okay, Payfam is now Goo Goo.
The Last of Us Goo.
The Last of Us Goo.
The Last of Us Goo.
Anyway, patreon.com/heyfam. Come and join us for an hour of goo related jokes.
And if you can't remember that link, just look it up on Goo Goo. Okay. Yeah.
Gremlins Goo, the new badge.
Well, I don't think it's funny anymore. But anyway,
I'm over it.
I'll see you. I'll see you over
Hollywood.
Okay, it's funny again, everyone. come join us for PayFam for more Last of Us 2 talk. Listen to Alexi's podcast, and be good to everybody. Bye.